everyone, welcome back to this week's episode of the Live Sport Ops Hangout. I'm your host, Chase Clements. This week, Carolyn's out, but we do have the two best gentlemen in town, besides myself. I'll say it that way. First up, Jeff Vincent from Wistia. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you, Chase.
And then Chase Livingston from Automatic, the other amazing Chase. How are you?
I'm doing very well.
See, that's the thing. I love Carolyn to death, but like when she's not on the show, we just zip right through the intro. And that's it. And Carolyn, as you're listening to this on your vacation, we love you. We absolutely love you. Yeah, so let's jump into this one because it's a great question coming in from John, one of our listeners. And John said that he would love to hear us talk a little bit more about, quote, leaving gracefully. You know, you're with a company. You're usually, you know, at least for this audience, for the show, you're looking at support teams that are maybe one, two, three people. I mean, I know Wistia is a little bit bigger. We're a little bit bigger. Automatic's a little bit easier. But a lot of the emails I get from listeners of the show, they're usually smaller teams, solo shop kind of things. So John was wondering if we had any advice as far as, you know, you've got a small team. What happens when you want to move on to a new opportunity, move on to a new company, and not just, well, as he puts it, cause your coworkers to go into a spiral of chaos because of your departure. So I think that's a really good topic. So let's start with Chase Livingston on this, because Livingston, when he left Canonical to go over to Automatic, were you the only support person? Was there one more, something like that?
There was sort of one more. The person kind of split their time between some development stuff and customer support. So, but it was basically just me on a day-to-day basis doing support. So
how do you, let's kind of start at the beginning there. So how do you even bring up the subject that, you know, you're going to work at Automatic and you're the only support guy and you're leaving? Like, how did you even bring that up to them and kind of ease them into thinking about that transition?
I guess one of the things that kind of helped was my boss at the time had actually just left to go somewhere else, and so there was a little bit of a shakeup there, and sort of when he left, things started to go downhill. The product that I was supporting no longer exists, so as you can see, things kind of bottomed out at the bottom of the hill. So
I love this. So Livingston leaves, and then the product just ceases to exist.
I mean, it was a couple years later, so I'm not going to claim any responsibility for that. But yeah, so my boss at the time left, and so I had kind of started looking around for something else, and you know, found the opportunity at Automatic, and was super excited about it. And you know, obviously ended up getting an offer, and so you know, basically just let the kind of interim team lead or whatever know that you know, I'd accepted an offer somewhere else, and you know, I would obviously work as hard as I could for the next, you know, I guess it was 2 weeks, 3 weeks maybe, before I actually started full-time at Automatic. So, you know, work on documenting as much as I could and wrapping things up with Ubuntu One at Canonical support, so that, you know, somebody could basically just pick up the reins and continue from where I left off with enough knowledge and, you know, process documentation and, you know, FAQ kind of documentation as possible, so that there wouldn't be a big learning curve for somebody else to come in and do it in my place.
Yeah. So, Jeff, what about you? Have you ever had to figure out a way to leave a job that, you know, it wasn't like this job sucks, I'm quitting, I'm leaving, that kind of thing, but like, have you ever left a job where you needed to kind of make that transition as easy as possible?
No, I have not. And I don't have any current plans to. I do remember, so this wasn't a small team, so it's probably not applicable at all to what you wanted the scope to be, but when I left my job in advertising, this was like 6 years ago plus, to go to business school, I was really nervous about it for the exact reason that John brought up. Like, I don't want everybody else to be holding the bag of work, you know, I don't want to leave everybody else holding the bag when I leave. And, you know, right after this project, I'll tell them, or like right after that project, I'll tell them. And I ended up going, to my boss's boss, someone who I'd only met a few times, because it seemed easier to tell them about it. And she was just so, so supportive and was like, she told me something that I still think about now, which is like, it's the business's job to staff appropriately. Mm-hmm. It's the individual's job to act in accordance to their values. And to the way that they would want to be treated in the same situation. So, I would never want somebody to stay just because they didn't, there's too much work. And once there's a little bit less work, then I'll finally, get out of this horrible rut that I'm in and switch to something else. I would rather that they gave their team lead the heads up, and that it was not a surprise, so that they could staff appropriately. And then when it's time to go, just like Chase said, you're transferring the knowledge and this other person can hit the ground running, hopefully.
Yeah, I think, those are the big ones, right? So the staffing part and then making sure that all of your knowledge isn't tied up in one person. I think it was Evan Hamilton that I was talking to it about. And basically the idea comes down to his version was a little bit brutal, I guess, for lack of a better word. But he was like, basically, if you're, if a person is on like a bus and the bus crashes, is your entire support team going to fall apart without that person? And if it is, then something's wrong. That one person having so much information that the team or the business can't do its job without that person is dangerous from the company's perspective and from the team's perspective. So that's the big stuff. Make sure that you've got the documentation there so anybody can step in and kind of take over your job and run with it. Make sure they're familiar with what you do. So it's not like a complete learning curve kind of thing going on. And then, yeah, like Jeff said, it's a lot of it's on the company. That the company needs to be staffing right. They need to make sure that that the support team isn't only one person, and that if that something happens to that one person, then there's backups and somebody can step in. Jeff, have you ever had in your role as kind of the support team lead over at Wistia, have you ever had somebody move on from Wistia and do a really good job at it? Like, what kind of tips can we pull from you there?
Well. That's a great question. And what I was going to add to what you're saying before, and I think that this question leads into it perfectly, is that the individual and the company's incentives are aligned to be doing the job of transferring knowledge and hiring appropriately the whole time.
Yeah.
We talk about that all the time, that the way that you, move up, and especially in support, the way that you tackle some of those maybe meatier challenges that you're really excited to get into, but there's always this backlog of tickets that you also have to resolve. The only way that you can move on to that is if you're helping the next person mm-hmm. backfill your spot. That's what happens when we work in an industry that's just kind of an endless faucet. The game is how you handle that faucet of people saying, I need your help. And one great way to do it is to, write great documentation in terms of what needs to be done in different scenarios to not only help the person behind you, but also to help you do your job more consistently faster, right? So that in that way, the individual and the company's incentives are really well aligned. And in terms of staffing appropriately, I guess that one is kind of obvious, but if you're on a team of three, or if you're on a team of one, it's kind of tough. Right, the company may not have much money. They may not have the opportunity to hire more people. But if you're on a team of three, I think that it starts to benefit the company to think about: are we getting the most creative solutions and thinking out of the people on our team? And if they're not, then one way to get them there is to bring on more people to create that headspace. For everybody. So, I mean, that's still a challenge that I am working through on a daily basis, but that's my job. So, we have had someone who left, and I thought that she did a good job in terms of laying out what her core responsibilities were, and trying to teach other members of the team how to take over those responsibilities. And really, she went above and beyond because she also managed the process of turning over that knowledge. It wasn't like, here are my responsibilities, here's how to do it, you teach them how to do it. She actually went through and showed other people how to do things. One lesson that I didn't know then that I probably, you know, that I definitely would benefit from now is to have those responsibilities be consistent across all the members of the team, right? Mm-hmm. So to have the fewest individual assignments per person as you can if they have the same title and they're the same role. So, yeah, I won't expand on that any further unless people have questions.
No, I was going to say, you know, on a smaller team, you're going to wear a lot of different hats just by the nature of the beast there. You know, you're going to handle a lot of different things. And as your team gets bigger, then you have to watch out for what Jeff was talking about. You have to watch out for people who aren't necessarily specializing in certain areas, but they might be the only one that knows how to do certain things, or maybe they're one of two that knows how to do certain things. A good case in point with the Basecamp team, you know, Marissa and I, when we started doing our online classes, we were the only ones that knew how to, like, set them up and schedule them and then actually run them and things like that. So if one of us was sick or out for a week on vacation or anything like that, it just kind of shut everything down. Now, it's not like, you know, everything in support stops. It's just that those online classes stop, and that's kind of a, you know, that's a missed opportunity. A lot of customers take those every week and really love them. So we wanted to spread that information around. We wanted to make sure that other people on the team had those same skills that we did, so they could go in, they could set up classes, they could run classes, no matter if we were there or not. We also wanted to make sure that was documented for down the road. So we did videos about how to set things up, how to get it added to the schedule, and all that kind of thing, to make sure that even if, worst case scenario, you know, your whole support team's on a bus out to UserConf and all of a sudden the bus crashes, that the company would still be able to pick up and move on with the documentation that they had. So yeah, I think those are really good points. Same kind of thing over to you, Chase Livingston, either at Canonical or at Automic, or for that matter, any other job that you had. Have you ever seen somebody on your team leave and do a really great job and transitioning out to the point where you didn't, like, hit that kind of chaos, that spiral of chaos kind of thing?
I haven't had that like direct experience with it at Automic, but the guy that I worked for and with when I was at Canonical that left several months before I did. I thought he did a really great job at it. I mean, he had been at Canonical for about, I think, 5 or 6 years at that point. So, I mean, he was obviously pretty entwined with the business and had a lot of responsibility as far as support and, you know, even other aspects go. You know, I reported directly to him, but he also had a lot of other responsibilities as well. So, you know, when he left, he was, you know, interfacing with several different people, including me, making sure that the responsibilities that were directly related to us that he was handling were handed off well. And, you know, we knew where information was, how to get information if we needed it, and just what needed to happen on a day-to-day basis to, you know, pick up and keep moving without him there. So, yeah, I thought he did a great job of organizing, amongst different people with the knowledge that directly related to them and their job, passing that off, handing over responsibility and that kind of thing.
Yeah, and, you know, so when we talk about passing off responsibility like that, I think a big thing to remember here, too, is that so with support, we're not only talking about being able to answer tickets and having the knowledge base, the documentation to be able to do that, but we also know things about that person that maybe isn't readily available. Sorry, that makes no sense. Let me give you this example. The big thing was, if you've got one person in control of, like, a contract with a vendor, like in our case, GoToMeeting, that's what we use for the online classes. There was one guy who kind of handled everything that we needed from them. So if something went wrong, we had to go through him to get it fixed. And if he was out for that week, if he was sick, vacation, anything like that, then you kind of get stuck because you don't know who to talk to and you don't know how to get in touch with them and that kind of thing. So I would say make sure, if you're leaving your job, make sure that your team has vendor contact info, that they've already made the right connections and contacts and things like that to be able to handle all of those things that you don't really think about. You know, you're support app that you use? Who do you need to talk to if something goes wrong? Who controls the billing for that? You know, what company and all that kind of fun stuff. So I would say make sure, you know, we talk about documentation, about making sure that your team can still go on answering questions, but we also want to make sure that all that supporting cast of characters that goes into them doing their job, that everyone knows who that cast is and knows how to get in touch with them and all that kind of fun stuff. Yeah, so Jeff, have you ever had, hopefully not at Wistia, hopefully this is a previous job, but have you ever had, you know, a team member that just really did not leave very well? Anybody that, you know, just gives you a list of things to not do when you're leaving for another job?
Definitely not at Wistia. There was a job long ago when I was managing a kitchen where somebody just didn't show up and it turned out they went to jail. So that's probably not the right way to leave a job if you want a good reference.
So wait, you weren't their first call, like when they were in jail? They didn't like call you and be like, hey, Jeff, come bail me out.
I don't know. I haven't picked up my phone as a phone since like 2000. So it might have been. I'm not sure.
There's somebody that was in a jail cell overnight because you didn't pick up your phone.
Exactly. No, there really hasn't been that I can think of. But I think to your point, obviously it's one thing if the person's just like, this job, you know, there's something about today that just really stinks and this is it, I'm out of here. But I think a lot of times people, you know, they've made the decision a long time ago, whether they tell, you know, their team lead or not. I'm not sure, but the individual has probably thought about it for a while. And when that's the case, the only thing your point about edge cases and little things that you may be on the hook for, just being cognizant of those things and starting to keep a running list, right? Even when you said who's responsible for the billing of, you know, X, Y, and Z service that you use or who your vendor contacts, I don't know that we have a good place to track all of that stuff for all the support apps that we use. And it's probably me for everything. And that should all probably be written down somewhere. Maybe not passwords and things, but who is the go-to person for which platforms? All of that stuff. If you're the go-to person and you're thinking, I just don't think I'm long for this job, then you should have that running list such that when you approach your team lead, you're saying, I'm leaving, by the way, here's a list of all the things that I'm currently, you know, running, or I'm the only person who knows about this edge case, whatever.
Yeah, and please, 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 I know we've talked about like account ownerships before on the show, so a lot of times the apps that you use will have one person that's considered the owner. Basecamp is the same way. You would not believe, I see several emails every week of, oh, so-and-so left, and they didn't give us any information, so we think we have an account with Basecamp, mm-hmm. but we're not for sure who owns it, and if they do own it, then how can we get control of it, and it gets really, really messy at that point. So that's something we think about. You know, if you are in control, if you're that main contact person for like your support apps and things, make sure you've got a plan in place to transfer that ownership over to somebody else, or at least let the support team know, hey, here's a person that may not be officially the account owner, but there's somebody that can step in at any time and take over for me. So they at least have some kind of idea of who's at play and who's not just maliciously trying to take over an account. Chase Livingston, same question over to you. Is there anything, you know, thinking back on your jobs, is there anything that stood out as a please don't do this kind of thing when leaving?
I can't really think of anything. I guess I sort of had a similar, well, I wasn't like a manager at that point, but similar situation to Jeff where somebody just left one day and didn't show back up. I don't know that they got arrested or not, but
we're going to pretend they got arrested for the job.
Yeah, that sounds cooler to me. It honestly wouldn't surprise me. But anyway, I mean, you know, that kind of thing, but that wasn't, you know, I wasn't a manager or anything. It was just a coworker at a place I was working. And so, but now that I've, you know, been working in tech and especially customer support for a little while now, I haven't seen anything that is just, you know, seems glaringly wrong or blatantly like rude to your other coworkers when you leave. Most of the things that I've been through have been really, you know, successful. If somebody leaving can be called that.
Yeah, I mean, thank God that we're all a bunch of empathetic people, because we're actually worried about, like, we're moving on to another job. We're worried about the people that we're, quote-unquote, leaving behind, you know, and want to make sure that they're okay and all that. My personal horror story, I will say that there was a person that I was working with. I was the manager of a deli at the time, and it was a barbecue place. It was a restaurant. We were slam busy during the dinner rush. Like, nobody could breathe. You were just trying to push out a plate, you know, trying to get somebody some food, that kind of thing. It's kind of like when you get buried in tickets and weeds. I mean, in the weeds and with support tickets. It's the same feeling. Like, you look up and there's like this whole line full of food tickets. It's the same feeling as if you look into your queue and there's, you know, hundreds of support tickets. It's terrifying. But that person chose that moment to look over at the manager and be like, oh yeah, this weekend's my last weekend. And we're sitting there going, why would you tell us that right now? Like, so, you know, when you do go and let your manager know, the team lead know, your boss know, and all that kind of thing, make sure it's at a time that's convenient for everyone involved. Don't do it in the middle of a rush or while the app is like down or something like that. So yeah, that's my big don't. Just don't do it. It's just not nice. You're an empathetic person. That's why you're in support. Just don't do it. all right. That's the big stuff that I had for this one. Gents, anything else you want to throw in? See, you need to, if nothing else, watch the YouTube version every now and then, because you get to see their thinking faces. It's absolutely fantastic. See, Jeff had a thought.
Well, I'm just going through my own experiences, and I think the only other thing that I think we could talk about here, or just mention, I guess, here is, as the manager, as the person who's now receiving this notice, like, hey, buddy, I'm out of here, I very strongly believe there's a right way and a wrong way to do that. And I think that the wrong way to do it is to jump immediately to thinking about yourself and, oh, how am I going to staff this position? And, oh my gosh, this of course ruins my month, right? Oh, this completely changes my plans. Like, let's talk about that. I think that the right thing to do there, it depends on the context, but if John is asking because, you know, John is thinking about this for himself, if he's going to this much trouble to gain this, is it John, Chase? You keep looking over. I want to make, okay. All right. Cool.
I was double checking, and I was like, surely, yeah.
I have a decent memory, but not that good. So I could be totally botching it. But if he's going to this much trouble, that means he really cares, and he wants to do the right thing. So, you know, if he's going to his team lead or his manager or whatever, and bringing this up, then I really hope that they're looking at it from the angle of what's the opportunity in front of John. You know, oh, you're going to do this other thing. You know, you're going to go be a team lead at this other company. That's amazing. You know, I really hope that I've passed on some good stuff. I hope that you can actually come back and give me some advice sometime so I can learn how I could be a better team lead. Or jumping to, like, what could I have done? I was going to say, what could I have done to keep you? But I think that's not even the right thing to do. I think the right thing to do is focus on the person in that moment, and then later you're getting feedback, and later still you're getting you're thinking about staffing and that kind of thing.
Yeah, so to take this whole show, so we've got document everything, make sure it's not just one person that kind of holds the keys to the kingdom there. Staff appropriately, make sure that if one person does leave, it's not going to – you're going to be sad, but don't let it, like, catastrophically ruin your month kind of thing. And third, you know, keep in contact at the end. Make sure that you as the manager, when that person's leaving, you're helping to make that transition smooth for them too as they move on to another job. You're not holding up a bunch of, I guess you really wouldn't hold up paperwork on them, but, you know, you're not doing anything that would impede them from leaving onto that other job. Because at the end of the day, I think the best thing is that both of the people involved, both the person that's leaving and the person that's staying behind, still have a good enough relationship to do what Jeff was talking about, to be able to reach back, you know, reach out in a couple of months and be like, hey, you know, you've had a couple of months to settle in there. How do they do things compared to us? Can you help me out and help me learn how to, like, lead the team better here and that kind of thing. To document, make sure you staff appropriately and then maintain that relationship after, you know, after that final transition period's over. Cool. Hopefully, John, we answered everything. That's one of those where a lot of us haven't left a job recently, you know, a couple of years ago, maybe, but that's about it. So let us know. And for all you other listeners, let us know if you've left a job, how you did it, if you've got, you know, horror stories about how people should not do it, or some great stories about how successful transitions have gone. Let us know. supportops.co/contact. Or just hit us up on Twitter. We're at supportops there. So that brings us to my favorite part of each and every week with this crew. No, I kind of like Chase Livingston's laugh there instead of the that was nice.
Very good.
It's this week's shout outs. These are the things that are making us happy. So happy that we want to shout them out from the rooftops to let you know that you should be at least looking at whatever we're saying is really cool. So let's start with Livingston on this one. We were talking before the show and being like, oh yeah, we don't, neither one of us went into the show having shout outs. So did you come up with one?
I did come up with one actually. I got to thinking, and I think I've shouted out, you need a budget on the show previously, the budgeting software I use, but I just recently found out about, some online classes that they offer. And the best thing about them is that they're like totally free. Even if you haven't bought the software or anything like that, anybody can sign up for one of these classes and learn a lot. And so I decided, hey, I'm going to, you know, do the beginner's class. I've been using, you know, YNAB, you need a budget for probably a year or so now. But you know, might as well see, what the beginner's class is like. And sure enough, I learned quite a few things that I, you know, didn't know it could do or weren't, I wasn't quite doing the right way. And so, props to them and all the teachers that they have that teach these classes. It seems like they offer them, you know, several times a day, almost, during the week at least. So if you are looking for some awesome budgeting software, check it out. And especially, you know, if you're looking at how to do, online classes, even for your product, maybe just sit in on one of them and see how they do it and you know, learn from them, that way.
Yeah, I will say, so when we were looking at doing online classes for Basecamp, that was the first page I went to. I was like, I know they do them. I know they do them really, really well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if nothing else, if you've got the budgeting thing down, just sit on one of the classes so you can figure out how to do it for your product.
Yeah.
Jeff, what's your shout out?
My shout out is, how to put this? I'll just start with the story. So on Saturday night, we had some friends come in from out of town, and Marissa was like, what should we do, you know, to entertain them? And I was like, I don't know, you know, you tell me, whatever you want to do, I'm totally open to it. So she was like, I'm going to buy us some tickets for the theater. And that's basically what I heard.
So fancy. I was like, oh.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I thought. So we go out to dinner or whatever, we get in the Uber, and I'm like, where are we going? And she's like, Northeastern, which you guys might not know, but that's a school. And I finally asked, what are we seeing? And she told me, we're seeing Legally Blonde, the musical put on by the Northeastern crew. Now, Northeastern is not a performing arts school. So my understanding is that means they're just a bunch of students who may be in other majors who just want to participate in a musical. And you know what? My shout out is to those folks, because God bless them. They put on the best show that they could possibly put on. I was very proud of them.
That is amazing. That's the best shout out we've ever had.
Yeah. I mean, I guess my shout out is to anybody out there who's just taking the plunge, even if they're not a pro, because they just do it for the love of the game. That's awesome.
Oh, that is fantastic. Now I'm kind of intrigued at what Legally Blonde the musical was like. We need a section for like Jeff reviews things.
Give a quick if you do a quick YouTube search for Legally Blonde the musical, you will turn up a Broadway performance that was done on YouTube and someone, or on MTV, and someone recorded the entire thing and put snippets of it up on YouTube. Then take that and remove the Broadway trained actors, and you have this performance. But you know what? God bless them for getting up on stage and singing. I love it.
I doubt it, but I really hope that there's at least one person involved in that production that actually listens to this show. And if there is, please let us know. Just email us or tweet us or something so we can know. There's got to be at least one. My shout out this week is to a really lightweight little bitty Mac app called Caffeine, which is really cool because so last night I sat down and my computer was like, oh, you need to do a bunch of updates. And it was like a 2 freaking gigabyte download for, I forget what it was. It was Xcode or GarageBand or something like that. It was horrible. But what happened was my computer continued to like go to sleep, and then that would throw off the download, so it would have to restart, and it was just a mess. So I found this little app real quick called Caffeine. It goes up in the menu bar on your Mac. You just click it, and when you click it, your computer doesn't go to sleep. And when you unclick it, then your normal settings apply. So it's really handy for those times, like I mentioned, where I didn't want my computer to go to sleep because it had to download this massive 2 gigabit file. So check it out. I'll have that link and all the other ones in the show notes. If I can find the Legally Blonde YouTube video, I'll make sure to put that in there too because that's freaking awesome. We'll have all those up, supportops.co shortly. Other than that, Carolyn should be back next week, and we've got our full crew too, so we're going to check that out. And I should mention, so we're almost at the end of all the show topics that we've been thinking about planning and crafting and working on for the last couple of months. So this is the perfect time. If you have any specific questions you want us to tackle or shows that you want to see us do, we're not going to sing Legally Blonde, but everything support related is on a table and fair game. So let us know, supportops.co/contact. We'll get that scheduled in. So until we see you again next week, have an awesome week.